Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We've all heard so much about the self-care trend. Some would say it's a movement. It ranges from spa days to Caribbean vacations and somewhere in between, ice cream with chocolate sprinkles. All of it a pushback to the daily grind of work and taking care of others. Well, tonight, for our Medical Monday conversation, we are rebooting your self-care routine. How to do it, when to do it, and why you're doing it. My guest is Dr. Jazz Robbins, therapist and board-certified holistic nutritionist. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. Robbins, thank you so much for joining the conversation.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Thank you so much. I'm glad, but you know, this is self-care, so don't be so excited. You got to woosah. You got to breathe. Take a deep breath, Dr. Robbins.
Indeed. Let's all take a collective.
Yeah, just take a collective deep breath. Okay, so now that we are calm, you know, a lot of people would think that now is the time for, you know, for self-care. And I know that there's this definition that defines, you know, self-care as the practice of taking action to preserve or improve one's own health. But what is your definition of self-care?
First of all, when I break it down, literally the combination of words self and care, that literally means exactly what you just said, taking care of oneself. And I think about a parent, I think about a nurturer, and I think about before we were 18 years old for most of us. The person who was taking care of us was either a parent or a caregiver, a grandparent, or whomever. So self-care is now this time, this space, this phase in life when we are releasing that responsibility, that duty, if you will, from those primary caregivers, and we are now taking it on for ourselves. I'm moving away from the term self-care in favor of the term self-maintenance, because I think it really gets to the meat and potatoes of what the essence of the activity in the routine should look like. So in other words, if it's self-care, and to your point, if we're talking about Caribbean vacations and spa days and retail therapy, yoga, meditation, apps and so forth, then it seems almost unattainable, and it seems like I'm not doing it correctly if I'm not doing what they're talking about, or if I'm not doing what's in that article, in that magazine, on that podcast. It's not about that. Self is in front of it, right? Mm-hmm. So it literally means that I get to define it for myself. Self-care is any activity that makes you feel safe, makes you feel loved, makes you feel whole.
When did this start?
I would say that it's always been there. We haven't always had the language to name it as such. So maybe you grew up with folks that said, I need me a minute. They're saying, I need to pause for a moment to take care of myself. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what? I like to treat myself at the end of the week. I like to such and such once every month, right? People have always sort of talked about giving themselves this treat or this shiny object, especially after they've done something tough, they've done something arduous. Oftentimes you hear folks talk about it after they've run a marathon or a half marathon. Oh, I went and treated myself to this, right? That is some kind of activity, some kind of engagement that you're involved in that's making you feel safe, loved, or whole, or it feels like something that you've earned.
But is this the same, for example, as parents who become empty nesters deciding to do things for themselves now that they are able to get rid of their, not get rid of, I didn't say that, but.
I'm not co-signing on.
Not get rid of, but I guess honoring a time, celebrating this rite of passage when their children finally leave the nest permanently, and now they, either individually or as a couple, for example, decide to do things for themselves. Is that the same kind of thing, or is that different in your mind?
Well, hobbies by nature are self-care activities, right? So if self-care, again, is something that makes me feel safe, feel loved, feel whole, it is going to be an activity that either makes you laugh, makes you calm, or inspires you. So anything that you hold as a hobby is absolutely self-care. Here's the thing with self-care, however. It becomes self-care in nature by definition when I have defined it as such. So in other words, I could be doing something mindlessly versus doing something mindfully. And it's that mindful engagement that I'm telling myself, this is something I'm doing for me, for me. That's when it even feels different, because that's when I know that I'm taking care of me, as opposed to I went from sun up to sundown and didn't really sort of take note of all of the things that I did for myself. I just kind of went through steps of the day, went through activities.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. It's a Medical Monday conversation. We are talking about rebooting your self-care routine, how to do it, when to do it, and knowing if you should. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So, Dr. Robbins, you said earlier that some of the more popular forms of self-care are dominating pop culture, from vacations to spa days to a really big glass of wine. But this can also, I'm sure, can be considered both a spiritual thing and a physical thing. It's not and or, it's both. But you said that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of people are doing what everybody else is doing. So what's wrong with doing what everyone else is doing, or doing what you want, which is what everybody else is doing?
Mm-hmm. So it goes back to the what makes me laugh, what calms me down, what inspires me. If I can put five things in each of those categories, that is my personal bucket. That is my tailor-made bucket of self-care activities. And it doesn't have to look like what anybody else is doing. Me personally, since 2005, I have woken up to holiday music. Don't judge me. But I wake up to holiday music 365 days a year because it just puts a smile on my face.
What kind of holiday? I mean, what are you talking? Christmas?
Jingle bell? Come on.
Kwanzaa? I don't know. What's your holiday?
I'm jingle belling it 365 days a year.
Okay.
Every single day. Every single day. That's how I wake up. I have something that I do before I go to bed. But that's unique to me. And that's what I really encourage everybody to do, is look at those three buckets. What makes you laugh? What calms you down? What inspires you? Fill those buckets up. And those are the buckets that you pull from for your personal self-care tool.
Let me go to the phone lines. We've got a lot of folks on the line. They want to talk to you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about rebooting self-care. Kim calling from D.C. Kim, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, good evening. I wanted to add a little bit of comment. You posed the question about whether it's an empty nester activity, is, you know, once your kids go off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my kid is 11 and I'm a single mom. So for me, it is when she is with her father, I do self-care. And my acts of self-care, usually I'll go to the Kennedy Center, and she laughs at me because I'm usually there when she's not with me. I'll do the Kennedy Center. I'll take myself out to dinner. I'll do those things, and I'll date me because I'm not dating anyone else, so I'll date me. And I'm in school. So those are the things that give me respite and bring joy. And then when I can, I get on a plane and I get out of Dodge.
Right. You do that Bahamas, put your foot in the sand thing, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I've Costa Rica 4 times. Those are the acts of self-care for me.
Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with the Kennedy Center, especially if you can afford those $700 Hamilton tickets. But so Kim, I applaud you. I applaud you. You know, nothing wrong with, broadening your cultural education. And so, you do that. Thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Erica calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Erica, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi. What's on your mind?
Yes, I just have a comment and a kind of question. First of all, I have a very good friend who she specializes in helping women understand about self-care. So my problem is that I'm not understanding why is it we change the labels so much. Something as simple as self-care, why I'm not quite understanding why does the changing of, because it confuses me to understand it. Because everything that the doctor just shared, my girlfriend has shared with me just under the basis of tuning into self-care. So I'm just kind of a little bit misunderstanding why do we often always change so many different labels to understanding one specific topic of us caring for ourselves. And that's the question.
I think that's a really good question.
Yeah, thank you so much for your question, Erica. So when I say self-maintenance, think about it in terms of the way that we care for our vehicles. So the challenge with self-care for some, not for all, but the challenge with self-care for some, or that term, is that it is something that I have to earn, or it is something that I have to treat myself with. If we think about self-maintenance, or we even think about our vehicle maintenance, our vehicles don't have to earn an oil change. We have to do that to maintain the well-being of the vehicle, if you will. So when I say self-maintenance, that's what I mean. We are worthy. You are worthy. This is not a treat to be earned. It is, by definition, a part of the process. If we put it off until we feel like we've earned it, it's already too late. Because the beauty of self-care, self-maintenance, self-love, however you want to phrase it, the beauty of it is that it cushions the blow of daily stress. And if we wait until we're stressed to reach for whatever that self-care or self-maintenance thing is, we're already behind the eight ball trying to climb ourselves out of a hole. If we think about maintenance, that means it's something that I have to be doing all the time before I need it. We don't wait to get our oil change once the well has run dry. Listen, I don't know anything about automobiles, but I do know, right, that we keep our oil change routinely because our vehicles need it. We don't wait until it's too late.
Mm-hmm. But I think to Erica's point, Dr. Robbins, does the name really matter, whether we call it self-care, self-maintenance, do you? Isn't the act more important than putting a name on it?
Absolutely. It's the connotation that the name gives for each individual. So again, whatever you call it, as long as you know that this is something that I'm doing for me to relax, to de-stress, to decompress, doesn't matter what you call it. If you conceptualize it as something that has to be earned, that's where I have the problem, because you don't have to earn this.
Erica, thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. It's a Medical Monday, and we are talking about self-care, rebooting your self-care routine. What does it look like for you if you haven't started a self-care routine? How do you do that? And if you have had one, is it time for you to make a change? So with that, Dr. Robbins, how do you know that you you need to start a self-care regimen if you haven't done it already. How do you know?
Because we live human lives and the human existence is taking from us all the time. So it's not a question of how do I know I need one? The answer is we all need one. We all need to be engaged in activities that help us de-stress, decompress, and relax. Now, what those specific activities are for each individual, sure, it can be yoga, sure, it can be meditation, sure, it can be a Headspace app or journaling or sauna or grounding or prayer. It can be any of those things, but I truly, truly encourage each person to find their personal things that, again, make you laugh, make you calm down, or help you calm down, or inspire you. Because contrary to popular culture, self-care doesn't have to be quiet in nature. It can be loud. It can be boisterous. It can be exuberant. It doesn't have to be quiet.
Yeah, there's a lot of loud self-care going on in this area. Trust me. And I'm going to talk about that next. I'm also going to talk about men and self-care in addition to the you taking more than a woosah moment. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's coming up on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM Channel 141. And we are still taking your phone calls if you have questions about self-care. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. This is our Medical Monday conversation, and we're talking about rebooting your self-care routine. My guest is Dr. Jazz Robbins, therapist and board-certified holistic nutritionist. Lines are open if you have a comment or a question about self-care, what it is for you. If you're not doing it, should you start doing it? If you are doing it, should you change it? Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Okay, so Dr. Robbins, how do you know whether or not your self-care is selfish?
Okay, Mr. Fisher, I appreciate it.
I'm not trying to make your head hurt, but, you know.
It's okay. It's okay. And I will be so bold as to say it is never selfish to care for oneself. It is never selfish. If that means that I am saying no to that function, no to that social activity, no to that group of friends, no to that family outing in service of me, because that's what I need. There's nothing selfish about that. I hate to use it because it's so overused and trite, but we have to put our mask on, says the folks at the airport, right, in the airplane. We have to put our mask on first before we can attend to assist someone else with their mask. Caring for ourselves strengthens us and empowers us to be able to do the work that we are all engaged in, whatever that might be. So if that means that I'm placing my needs first, that's what has to be done. And that is more than okay.
You know, I remember of all of the things that the great Oprah Winfrey shared with the world during the course of her talk show reign, the thing that struck me the most, and I will never, ever forget this, is her use of one word, and that was no.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, how do you balance self-care, which can be translated as no, I don't want to do that, or I'm not going to go here, when it could very well change what you've normally done, which may be considered on the outside as you being responsible and helpful and being the moral North Star of your family mm-hmm. or your job. And now all of a sudden, well, Dr. Jazz Robbins told me to say no. Mm-hmm. and then they're going to be coming for you over there on the West Coast or wherever because you told mom to say no and to do the self-care. And a lot of people may see it as not self-care, but selfish and a full-blown change. Is mm-hmm. there balance?
Something else that Oprah said is we teach people how to treat us.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. I absolutely love that. The challenge is that when we've been engaging in an exchange of behavior with other people in one way, and then we flip it, that flip is where the bruise, or they feel it as a bruise. And then beyond that, we are telling them how we need to be treated. The way that I look at saying no is we are modeling behavior of self-care and of placing value and importance on my own life. I can't tell you the number of clients that I see in therapy where they don't even know how to do that because it's never been modeled for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's so much value and so much power in just modeling and showing other people that I put me first and I take care of me, not to the detriment of alienating everybody in my life, not to the detriment of becoming a hermit and not socializing with folks, but certainly when it's time for me to downshift, disengage, and place me first, that is an incredible thing to model to other people. And when they see you do that, that inspires them to even give it a try.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned self-care versus self-maintenance. When you move into a self-maintenance role, does that mean that it's time to reboot and do, because you're now doing mm-hmm. the things before, you're doing everything that you didn't do before, you're doing it routinely. So mm-hmm. does that mean that you need to step up your self-care game? So, you know, yeah, you went and you did the spa thing and now you're doing it every single weekend when you never did do it at all. And you are, I don't know, you're doing your ice cream with chocolate sprinkles once a week when you were denying it for so long. Does that now mean that you need to look at a trip to Spain when the last trip was just to the spa?
Mm-hmm. So the question really is, what does my life need and what does my situation warrant? I think about hair care products. I will change my conditioners every few months because my hair stops responding to that particular conditioner, right? So in terms of self-care, self-maintenance, and when to reboot, the reboot is warranted when my life situation calls for something else. When is it time to graduate from what I'm currently doing to needing something else? And it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm graduating from spa day to trips to Spain. It could just be spa day to sitting in the park. I need a shift. I need something different because the stressors in my life are requiring something different. That's when that reboot is necessary, when the activity is no longer having the desired effect. When that hair conditioner is no longer having the desired effect, it's time for me to change.
What's the difference between self-care as an escape and self-care as running away?
Mm-hmm. Intention. Intention. So am I doing this activity to avoid an uncomfortable situation or an uncomfortable interaction with another person? Am I trying to avoid not feeling sad feelings, for instance, or anxious feelings, versus am I headed toward this activity because I am gifting myself or loving myself in a way that feels necessary and congruent for whatever the time is? So it's all about intention. Two people can be engaged in the exact same activity, getting two different things from it based on their intention for engaging in those activities.
So now I want to talk about men, because often often, all the time, when we talk about self-care, we are usually talking about women. Men don't talk about self-care.
They get left out of the conversation, unfortunately.
Maybe, but as a man, I don't care. I don't care about self-care, or I don't define it as self-care. I just define it as, I'm going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you, you know, help me with this, but it does sound, at least when you talk about the nomenclature, this is a woman's thing. Now, yes, you may have some guys, let's talk about the spiritual thing. You do have some men who every morning when they get up, before they put their feet on the floor, they may do a half twist and put their knees on the floor. Mm-hmm. And they may pray before, you know, the day really begins. Some people could define that as self-care. Okay, I get that. But this, again, this is just not something that I think that men may immediately identify with. How might you suggest that they identify with it?
So they're already doing it, right? Whatever is happening in the man cave is 100% self-care. Whatever they're oftentimes doing with their boys is 100% self-care. I'll say one difference between the way that males and females engage in self-care activities a lot of times, not all the time, and I hate to even generalize in this way, but oftentimes men's self-care activities are collective in nature, so they're doing it with other folks, versus self-care activities that females will engage in will oftentimes be more solitary or solitude. But for sure, we've all heard certain men say things like, oh, before I go home, I have to, or before I start work, I do this, or I sit in my car and I think, or I listen to this to get pumped up. All of that is self-care. And I guess that's one of the things that I want to impress upon folks, is it doesn't even have to be that labor intensive. It can be 30 seconds. It can be, you know, 5 minutes, a 5 minute thing that you do inserted into your day with the intention of de-stressing, relaxing, and caring for you. That's 100% self-care.
Mm-hmm.
Trips to Spain are great, but what can I do right now in the next 5 minutes?
Yeah. My form of air quotes self-care.
Why air quotes?
Because I said, you know,
stop it.
Did you say stop it? You know, I'm not. You know,
wait a minute.
Yeah,
Harold.
Help a brother here.
Yeah. Come on, you with your voice and your platform. Let's not have all the guys and men folk out there saying, feeling like they have to say it in air quotes. We can embrace the term, or you can call it whatever you choose to call it.
Which is what I, right.
Me time.
Time out.
Time out.
And I'm going to have to ask the fellas about, and you know, the let me just say, the intellectual acumen of my buddies is very high. So... Mm-hmm. You know, I'm the dumb one in the group, but
no, you're not.
But so if I ask them, they'll probably say, absolutely. And I know one of them will say, yeah, I do air quotes self-care every day. But my form of self-care, and I did it yesterday with the exception of about 30 minutes when I had to have an estimate on some work on my house. Some system that I need to have installed. Guy came in, he sat, gave me the price. It was too much, and I threw him out the door. But beyond that, I did not speak all day.
Mm.
Now, I do that with a semblance of frequency because, yes, I speak for a living. And so a lot of times when I am at home, I don't talk.
Mm-hmm.
sometimes the television may be on, sometimes there's music, and sometimes there is no sound other than folding clothes or taking care of whatever needs to be taken care of. And if I get in the car and I drive to wherever I'm going, I don't speak intentionally. Now, certainly, manners are excluded from this not speaking thing.
Right.
If I'm thanking a cashier or I'm excusing myself if I bump into someone in the store.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, I just don't talk because I just don't believe that I need to talk all the time. Now, I will say that when my oven went out on me last night, I did a lot of speaking and I said some things that I can't say on the air. But that also did not last long. But all jokes aside, probably within, out of 12 hours of being awake, I was completely silent for 11 of those hours.
Mm-hmm. That's your decompressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Now, let me ask you about these seven pillars of self-care. Are you familiar with them?
I am familiar with some pillars. Every author has different ones, but let's get into it.
Yeah, mental, emotional, physical, environmental, spiritual, uh-huh. recreational, and social. Take them front to back, back to front, in the middle, start wherever you want with what you know.
Mm-hmm. So when we talk about things to help us mentally self-care or care for ourselves, what are things that attend to our mental well-being? So if we are challenged with anxiety, what are things that sort of lower our anxious symptoms? What are things that decrease our depressive symptoms if that's something that we're challenged with? It's attending to our psychological well-being in some way. We can use sound, so music can help. We can use conversation with close friends, peers. We can use sights. Sometimes just watching a nice, image of nature, real or, something online can help us with the mental well-being. Emotional. Right, that piece, that is attending to our emotional needs, and it can help us if there are stuck places, like if we are prone to irritability, if we're prone to angry outbursts, if we are a little bit quick-tempered. So what's something that I can do that's going to attend to my emotional wellness, that's going to attend to my emotional needs? It can also be something that is an outright exchange of love between you and another person. So that whether it's you and a child, not in a gross way, but having a moment with your child, having mm-hmm. a moment with your partner, having a moment with a close friend, that sense of closeness that we can really thrive from when we're in community with other folks that we enjoy. Mm. Physical wellness, easy peasy mac and cheesy, right? What's something that's going to help me in a physical way? So some kind of physical activity, it need not be rigorous, a simple walk, stretching for those of us who are able to move our bodies in that way. Other things such as strength training or calisthenics or any of those activities truly, truly, truly help us in more ways than one. So doing something physically, we also get the mental benefit from it too because of the endorphins and the hormones that are being released.
Or maybe not having that ice cream with the chocolate sprinkles and maybe maybe having some collard greens with smoked turkey. And maybe cutting out the easy peasy mac and cheesy this week.
Maybe, yes.
Because
yes.
that will have a long term effect on your physical well being if certainly you can keep it up. And I'm sure that as a board certified holistic nutritionist, you would have something to say about that, no doubt.
Right, right. And it's all about moderation, right?
So if we are living in complete deprivation, that's being lopsided, and we don't want to live in just obscenity to where we're being just overtaking those food items all the time. So somewhere in the middle that feels like we're attending to our needs in an intentional way. Again, it's that without intention, you know, where you open the bag of potato chips and before you know it, the end of the bag, like the family size, you got to the end of the bag and it's like, oh gosh, that's that mindless activity that I'm talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. But then what about, can you speak to the spiritual piece?
For sure. So spirituality can be connected to religion. It need not be connected to religion. So an individual's spiritual journey is really a connection that person has with, I can call it a higher power, or I can call it the universe, I can call it God, Allah, or whomever, but it's a connection that an individual has with something that's bigger than them, And by nature, by definition, it makes them feel connected to themselves and to other human beings. So when someone is engaged in any kind of a spiritual practice or views themselves as spiritual in nature or is on a spiritual journey, it necessarily impacts the way that they interact with other human beings because of the spiritual nature that they view humanity on. Does that make sense?
I think so.
if I'm engaged in any kind of spiritual practice whatsoever, it has an impact on how I treat other people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that it can loop back around to the emotional well-being that I spoke about a moment ago. So that spiritual piece, that can be things such as prayer. It can be reading spiritual texts. It can be being in nature, right? If that's your thing, it can be attending church, synagogue, mass, temple, whatever spiritual environment or services that you might want to attend. It can be being involved in philanthropic things, sort of like, you know, feeding unhoused, or that can be a spiritual thing for some folks. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. And certainly that can cross over into some of these other pillars. Now, what about environmental? Mm-hmm. I have some thoughts about that, but I will defer to the expert.
Environmental, this is a big one, especially for Gen Zers, because they are upset with everyone who's come before them because the planet seems to be going to heck in a handbasket. And they're like, what about, you know, what's here for me? So environmental activities that can be self-care or can be used as self-care can, here we go, it can be as simple as gardening. It can be, and let's look at how this gets tied back to nutrition. If I'm gardening, say I'm just growing lettuce or growing peppers, I don't have to have a full-on garden with a full produce market in my backyard, but growing something that I then am able to feed my family with or put into my body, that I'm taking care of myself in a physical way, that's having me connected to the land, taking care of the land that I have stewardship over, and being intentional with the way that I treat that land, being intentional with the way that I treat my pets can even be environmental in some ways. The way that I treat other animals, the way that I treat any living non-human thing can be environmental in nature in terms of a self-care activity.
The reason I specifically focused on environmental was because there was an article in the Washington Post, actually a column, last month where I don't know whether it was a teacher or community leader, took some boys who lived in a horrifically challenged community in D.C. and took them out to the mountains of Western Virginia, a place that was probably maybe a 90-minute drive, but an entire universe away from the issues that they had been raised in. And I was thinking, if not the ecological environment, maybe your own personal or geographical environment as a form of self-care. And this particular column went on to describe their reaction to something that they rarely even bothered to look at on television, but now to really be in it, even just for a day, where there was grass and no violence and fresh air and no air pollution and stars. And
that's a perspective shift. Huge.
Yeah. And some would certainly, some could say that was self-care. Some could say that was just care.
I would definitely categorize it as self-care, particularly if they had those kind of experiences that were eye-opening and enlightening in any way. I loved your phrasing of taking care of the space around you. I remember when I was living in New York and there were folks who had lived on the same block for, you know, decades and generations, but the care that they had for that block and for the people on that block, I would absolutely say that even that is environmental self-care, right? We take care of the space and we take care of the people in the space. And to the point of the article in the Washington Post, for some, it takes being removed from your space, seeing something different, to even get a concept or an idea of what caring for an environment can be or could be.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think the other side of this is for the people who maybe consciously exercising some form of self-care and are not seeing any kind of improvement or positive impact. What is that?
Sometimes we've waited so late in the game to even start our self-care activities or routine, whatever strategies we're going to use, that we're working at a deficit. I'm horrible with car analogies, but just imagine riding in a vehicle on fumes, right? You've damaged some of the internal organs of the vehicle, if you will. If we have allowed ourselves to live in a state of constant stress for an extended period of time, one spa day will not do it. We have to optimize. We have to, like, dump ourselves and dunk ourselves into self-care in a way that most other individuals aren't having to do it that much, because perhaps they're already in that maintenance phase where they're doing something on a routine basis. So it could be that, right? It could be I'm so far at a deficit that it's going to take me a little bit to start seeing some results, almost like starting a new medication, right? They tell you that you're probably not going to see the impact for about 30 days or 60 days for even some. And then for others, it could be that you're doing what Peter, Tom, or Brenda is doing, and that's just not your thing. That because it works for her, him, them, doesn't mean that it's supposed to or meant to work for you. Mm-hmm. Two things. You want to be consistent and you want to be creative. Feel free to unleash yourself and allow yourself to find the thing that truly works for you, because nothing feels more rotten. Sure, there's some things, but then engaging in a self-care activity that wasn't tailor-made for you. That feels like crap.
So I touched on this earlier, but I'll ask again. Is it possible that your self-care can be careless and indeed hurt other people? And if so, how do you know?
it is possible that someone may develop hurt feelings if I have said no to them in service of caring for myself. Yes, that is possible. Is it possible that I'm doing something to take care of myself and by default I am being malicious or hurtful to another person? I have a hard time conceptualizing that one, but I can see a number of examples where it's, you never come out, I'm not inviting you to anything anymore because you never come.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, that could happen. That could absolutely happen.
Yeah. Yeah, or, you know, if you're married with children, don't just do self-care and disappear from your husband and children. Anybody seen your mama? No, I haven't, Dad.
Right, now that you mention it.
Yeah, that's what she said. She was going on an, what is it, a eat, pray, love excursion. a little self-care adventure. Well, let's just hope she comes back.
Right. She said she was going to the store.
That's right, for to get some bread. And what happened? Dr. Jazz Robbins, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so very, very much.
Thank you so much.
And I'll drop the air quotes, and I'll talk to the guys this week and find out what they say, because I know they're listening.
Come through, Harold.
Yeah, right. You know, I'm always trying to evolve in my self-care journey.
There we go.
There you go. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum for this Monday, July 31st. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.